Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Colts Monday Night with Coach Chuck Pagano. Before we start the show, Subway would like to give away prize packages to the first five callers to the show tonight. Call the Verizon hotline. It's 317-639-COLT. The second half hour of tonight's show, we'll be visiting with Jim Sorgi again on the Verizon hotline. Verizon, proud sponsor of the Colts. Jim will share his thoughts on the game yesterday. And Coach Pagano will be taking social media questions tonight in the next segment. To submit your questions to the coach, log on to Facebook.com/Colts or tweet the show directly at Pagano Show. Every time I talk to you, you say one thing. Never as good as we thought we were, never as bad as we thought we were. Did you find that true when you looked at the tape yesterday?
Yeah, that's pretty much every ball game, you know, when you go back and you look at it. And so you hate to be quick to pass judgment right after the ball game. You always like to wait and, you know, you have a good idea, but take a look at the film and, you know, it pretty much revealed what we thought it was. And there were some good things out there, but we left a lot of plays there. We left a lot of yards out there. We certainly left points, you know, out there. And we had opportunities. We just didn't capitalize. And credit Miami. They played a really good ball game, and was a tough physical football game, and they made more plays than we made.
Chuck, when you looked at it, let's look at the good things. What did you like when you looked at the tape?
Well, you know, first and foremost is, you know, our guys are going to give effort. They're going to play hard for 60 minutes, you know. We had some guys come in, you know, lose Donald Thomas, you know, to a season-ending injury, and a young guy like Hugh Thornton comes in and fills in and does a nice job for us. Dwayne Allen's out, and so a guy like Kobe Fleener, you know, has to step in and you know, performed well and played well. And, you know, offensive line, you know, I thought, you know, did a good job and protected Andrew. Again, credit Miami's front seven. They've got some guys that can rush pass. They got some linebackers that can blitz, you know, up the middle off the edges and things like that. But for the most part, they did, you know, they did a great job. You know, Gaz had his hands full all day and was in a battle with Cameron Wake, you know, for 60 minutes. And defensively, you know, we were able to put pressure, you know, on the quarterback, you know, five sacks. You know, we had our moments. We just got to become more consistent, you know, across the board in all three phases, you know, throughout the ball game. And, you know, they got a, you know, few runs on us, and we didn't set the edge like we're supposed to set the edge. And, you know, you got to be on the same page. You got to communicate, and everybody's got to be, you know, singing out of the same hymnal in order to, you know, give ourselves a chance.
How important? What, you take the lead finally just before halftime, 17-14. They come down and get a field goal. How important to the game was that?
Well, it was huge. It's like our first drive. We drive down there. We got a third and one. Don't convert. You know, we have a field goal attempt go off the upright. You know, so that's 3 points, right? And if I recall, we drove down to their 23-yard line right at the end of the ball game, so you know how big those 3 points are. You know, we give up 3 points right before the half. They get the ball back with a minute and change. You know, I think one timeout and, you know, get a explosive play on us, get in field goal range. We give up that 3 points, and again, you go to the end of the ball game. If we hit the field goal or we don't give up those 3 points, you know, we're driving at the end of the game. Lead the clock down to virtually nothing and kick a field goal to win the thing.
The passing game has been really, really good in the first half. Second half, maybe not as much. Is there correlation there, or is that something that maybe Miami made some changes on?
A little bit of both, you know. You know, everybody goes in and makes adjustments, you know, and they were, you know, everybody's going to take away, you know, your lead dog, and they were doing a nice job of, you know, of doubling Reggie, and DHB came, you know, was out of the game. You know, the run pass ratio was you know, it was more pass than run. You know, they were getting Andrew off the spot a little bit. He had to move his feet, had to slide in the pocket. You know, got T.Y. wide open over the middle, and a linebacker does a heck of a job for Miami, gets his hands on the ball. Otherwise, that's going to be a big chunk play for us. So, I think it's a combination of all those things we just talked about.
Speaking of T.Y., six catches, 124 yards, kind of like last year. Then he always comes up with a play you say he can't make, that 47-yarder down the sideline. I'm still not sure how he caught that ball.
Yeah, he's a special player, and you know, athletic guy, talented guy, competitor, you know, all those things. And that ball that he caught, you know, going up over the top of that, I think it was Grimes, mm-hmm. you know, and making that play. That's a special play, and we saw him make those, you know, all, you know, through the second half of last year. And so it was good to see him get back involved more than the first ball game. And we got to do everything possible to try to, you know, create, you know, plays and get him the ball as much as we can.
You hate to talk about injuries, but you've had two just heartbreaking injuries in the last 3 days. First, we lose Vic on Thursday, and then Donald yesterday. As a coach, I mean, I don't know how you don't react on the field when you see it. You knew how serious the injury was when you went out there, and so did he.
Yeah, I mean, you know right away as soon as you, you know, look a guy in the, you know, in the eyes and you speak, you know, a few words to him and they know, these guys know as soon as it happens, you know, it's unfortunate. It's part of the game. We hate to lose anybody. We feel like heck for both those guys and we're going to miss both those guys, but, you know, thank God we, you know, we've got some depth and we've got capable guys that, have prepared for that moment and done a great job and prepared as starters. You know, we always talk about you're one play away from going in the ball game and have to perform at a high level for us to succeed. And so we're fortunate that we got guys, you know, in spots and places with depth, you know, that can come in and do that.
Hugh Thornton was one of the guys you're talking about. Well, he's a tough young man to start with. And he played awfully well from what you were telling us today.
Yeah, he did play well. And, you know, it's never going to be perfect, especially for, you know, a rookie. But he came in and again, you know, he's knocking a lot of rust off still because, you know, he missed, you know, most of training camp in the preseason with that ankle injury. And so this is the first time he's really getting significant, you know, reps, so to speak. So. But again, he's prepared, you know, mentally the time that he was out and didn't have, you know, missed assignments and things like that. So he came in and did a nice job.
I love what you said at the press conference today because I think we're both on the same page here. The 24-hour rule works in wins. It does not work in losses, does it?
Unfortunately, no, you know, because you got that sour taste in your mouth, and it's hard to get rid of. Really, you really don't get rid of it till, you know, you have a chance to line up again, you know, the next Sunday and hopefully get it out of your mouth with a victory. So, you know, the 24-hour rule, we try to, you know, you try like heck to put it behind you, you know, obviously win or lose. And we have to do that. We have to bounce back. We have to move on. And so that's what we're going to do.
Are they tougher when you get beat badly as opposed to like yesterday? I'm not sure which is worse, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, you know, a loss is a loss. Yeah. And they all stink and they all sting, you know. And so, again, we're ready to move on and get ready for the Niners.
Let's talk about Mathis for a minute. Two more sacks, 94 and a half. And you got six total or five total. But Robert is—he just doesn't slow down. It doesn't seem.
No, he's like a fine wine. You know, he just keeps getting better with age, and he's a game wrecker, and he plays his heart out, and you know, he prepares. He takes care of himself and his body, and he's able to go out and play at a high level still. And you know, he's the leader out there, you know, of that defense, and what he brings from just a football standpoint is great. But from leadership and energy and all those type of things, it's, you know, I'm sure glad he's out there.
I'm sure. Well, you didn't hear him, I know, but the interviews yesterday after the game, there was a single thread that went through all of them. We, whoever the player was, didn't do enough to win. I don't care how well they played, but they didn't do enough. This team rapport, it's as good as we've had in a long time.
No, and they understand that. You know, we win as a team and we lose as a team. And we've got a locker room full of unselfish guys, guys that put the team first and put self second, and they're willing to do whatever they have to do to help this team win.
All right, it's time for Pagano's Playbook, presented by Citizens Energy Group. You touched on it a little bit. The play of Gosdar Sherrilis yesterday against Cameron Wake. I don't think we called Wake's name maybe once during the game. He had 2.5 sacks the week before. he's a game wrecker, as you talked about the whole week. Now, it wasn't all Gosder because he had some help on some plays, but he's a pretty darn good football player he picked up in the offseason.
Yeah, Gos is a really good football player and great team player. You know, he's great in that room. That, you know, he's come in and done everything that we've asked of him. He's a very unselfish guy, and him along with all those other guys across the board on the offensive line, they did a they did a good job, and Gos certainly had his hands full, and he knew it. And you know, he's a pro. He prepared. He practiced extremely hard, and he went out and did what he had to do to try to take care of Cameron.
All right, that was Pagano's Playbook presented by Citizens Energy Group. Make conservation tips a part of your playbook. Visit citizensenergygroup.com for helpful tips. Chuck's going to answer your social media questions when we come back. Stay tuned. This is Colts Monday Night with Chuck Pagano, presented by Citizens Energy Group on FM 107.5, 1070 The Fan, and 97.1 Hank FM. Again, welcome back. Chuck will answer some social media questions from you fans through the McDonald's social media inbox. You can submit your questions through facebook.com/Colts, or you can tweet the show at Pagano Show. Well, we go all the way to South Bend. Mary wants to know, and we almost touched on this a little while ago, Darius Heyward-Bey he sat out all of the second half. How serious is that injury?
Well, we got the MRI back, got it today. They got the news from the doctors and the trainers, and it was negative. So that's a positive, and it's really a bruise. You know, he fell pretty hard. You know, landed flat on his back. That reception down there on the 5-yard line, 4-yard line, whatever, and should be back at practice Wednesday.
And I'll add on to that one. How about Dwayne Allen?
Again, he's continuing to rehab and got him listed really right now as day-to-day.
All right. We go to Crawfordsville. Chris Reynolds wants to know, how can we get more consistent pass rush on the quarterbacks? Seems like the pass rush is feast or famine. One last week, five yesterday.
Again, I think it all goes hand in hand with how well we do on first and second down. You know, when we had success stopping the run on first down, and it was second and long, and then third and long, you can pin your ears and get after the quarterback in those situations. So when we do well on first down and second down, and we get people in third and long situations, 7, 8+, then we're able to, you got a lot more firepower, a lot more calls to choose from, you know, in those type of situations. So, again, it just goes back to playing better on first and second down.
The next question is one I had, and I tried to figure it out all night long. You touched on it at the press conference today. And Dan from Indianapolis, can you explain the penalty on Reggie Wayne that got Kobe Fleener's touchdown catch called back? We were told there were two men in motion at the same time. That's not what was called, but the call, go ahead and explain how it happened.
The way it was explained to me was that it was an illegal shift. Once the play, through the touchdown pass, and they called it back for an illegal shift. And what was explained to me, Bob, was all 11 players on offense have to be set, okay, for a second, okay, and then you can shift, motion, move guys around. So Reggie, whatever reason, they explained to me and said that he was one of those 11 guys. All 11 players have to be set, and it was explained to me that he was not, and so I guess by the letter of the law, we listen to it, and we go sometimes your calls are going to go your way, sometimes they're not going to go your way. It's just another thing that you have to deal with.
It looked like almost it was a bunny hop step at the end when he came set. Maybe they called that. I'm not sure, but it certainly was confusing. Daniel Bradbury wants to know, why did you call a timeout before the Dolphins kicked a field goal at the end of the first half?
Well, we had timeouts, and you can't use them, in the second half. You can't bring them into the second. So there's no sense in taking them into the locker room with you, number one. Number two, you try to ice the kicker, and call that thing right, as the snapper snaps it to the holder and they put the ball down and kick it. And so you're hoping to ice him and get him thinking a little bit. And kid's a good kicker, and he came through and made it anyway. So, again, you can't take him in the locker room with you.
This one comes from Bob Lamy. I don't know where he works, but you deferred last week. Miami deferred yesterday. That's one of the three options. Do you see more teams using the defer?
You know what? It's everybody's preference. You know, we have ours. Certainly everybody else, you know, has theirs. And again, whether you're playing indoors, outdoors, weather, there's a lot of things that factor in, you know, quarterback you're playing against, all those type of things. So I guess it's up to the head coach and the situation, the circumstances, all those type of things that, that come into play, you know, once you kick the thing off.
Austin Cochran from Greenwood wants to know top priorities going into this game against San Francisco. Where do you want the team to improve? What areas this week?
Well, you know, we got to continue to establish a run game. You know, it's going to be important for us to take care of the football. They've got a fabulous, you know, football team, both sides of the ball and special teams, and we've got to be able to run the football, control the clock, stop the run. You know, we're facing another talented quarterback. They run the read option, and so having, you know, seen it in week one, certainly should help us, you know, come Sunday. So those two things, and you know, getting pressure on the quarterback when he does, you know, drop back to pass, and protecting ours, and then taking care of the football and try to get some takeaways.
How much can you get from guys who play for the 49ers, Ricky Jean and Abreu in particular? Can they help you at all prepare this one?
Yeah, you know, from a personnel standpoint is really probably the biggest thing. You know, they can, you know, talk scheme and all that type of stuff, but they can really talk to our guys, you know, about the type of people they're going to face, the personnel. You know, if Ricky were to go in and talk to the offensive our offensive linemen and tell them about the defensive line group, you know, in particular, talk about, you know, Alden Smith. Here's his, you know, his favorite pass rush move. This is what he loves to do. This is how he's going to set you up. This is his counter. Those type of things.
Last question. I know the answer, but we'll go to it anyway. Losses are tough. We've talked about 24-hour rule. Forget that with losses. How do you address the team? How do you handle today's meeting with the team?
Well, we just point blank just say, look, here were the good things. These are the things that we did well. These were the negatives. These are things that have to get corrected. We know that we had opportunities. We know there was situations. There was, you know, plays to be made out there. We know that we left some yards and some points, you know, out there. And then we take everything head on. You know, we just call it like it is. You know, we got a great group of guys, and everybody's accountable. And so we address the issues. We point them out. We go through the tape. We have a short walkthrough, a corrections walkthrough after the meetings today. And then once that thing's over, we call the team up. That's it. That game is done. It is over. Let's move on. Let's move on to the 49ers and get prepared for them.
And one of the things is preparation. We got to get the coach out of here so the preparation starts. Thanks once again for the time, and talk about a win over the 49ers next week.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bob.
All right. That's Chuck Pagano. The show continues, Colts Monday Night with Chuck, presented by Citizens Energy Group on FM 107.5, 1070 The Fan, and 97.1 Hank FM. Welcome back to the show. Chuck now beginning his preparation for, well, continuing, not beginning, continuing a preparation for the game against the 49ers. A couple of quick things to remember. That loss yesterday was tough. There's no question about it. It's not one you don't like to ever lose at home. Miami's a better football team than a lot of people think, but the Colts had chances, just didn't take advantage of them. The same kind of thing happened in September last year when we lost to Jacksonville and then went on to have a really, really good season. That's no assurance that that's going to happen this year, but it's also no reason to get downcast and the whole season is over. This is a resilient football team. We've got a tough schedule ahead of us. San Francisco is no gimme, as everybody knows, and they're going to be really upset the way they played last night on national television. It's just interesting that we've had now three games in the early season with weather delays. That normally does not happen, and last night it seemed to take the starch out of the 49ers. You know, who knows, in San Francisco you could get a weather delay out there too, but the Colts just simply have to buckle down and play Colts football. There's no difference. You can't make gigantic changes right now. You really don't want to. Give credit to Oakland a week ago and Miami yesterday for making changes at halftime. We made changes at halftime that helped the Colts game. Chuck's upset, and we're all upset. 3 points in the second half. You're not going to win too many games when you do that, and that has to change, and it will. We had some plays. You have a touchdown call back on a somewhat questionable call. They made a great defensive play. The interception, which it's a moot point now, but again, that interception is the first turnover the Colts have had in their last four games. Had that not occurred, that would be a franchise record, four consecutive games without a turnover. The team has cut it down. We're in a plus-two situation. We weren't plus the last 2 years. So things are improving. It's tough. Nobody hates it worse than the people in this building, believe me. But it is one of those things you got to deal with, and we'll find out what this team is made of. Chuck mentioned it. You fans mentioned it last week. Got to get T.Y. more involved. Well, he had six catches for 124 yesterday, 124 yards. Sat down today and talked with him. I asked him when he first realized he could be the big playmaker he is on a football field.
It started at FIU. The first time I touched the ball, it was on a punt return in Kansas. They was ranked 25, man. When they punted to me, I told the coach the first time I touched the ball, I'm going to go to the house. And he punted to me, and I called to set up my blocks, hit the sideline, and I went to the house. So like, that moment right there finalized it.
First time you touch the ball, you score a touchdown. That's hard to top in your career, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it is. It is. But I had some remarkable plays in college, and I also making some right now.
When you were drafted, we thought, okay, he's a great punt returner, a good kickoff returner. You're a heck of a lot better receiver than any of us knew. But you found your way. You found a spot on this roster doing a lot of different things.
Oh, yeah, you know, the more you can do, the better. So right now I'm just trying to find my way with this offense and, you know, continue the chemistry with Andrew and Reggie. He's been a great mentor to me. So whenever I got a guy like that, I try to pick his brain as much as I can.
We've got two with DHB and Reggie, but Reggie for 2 years. What does he say to you? How does he help you?
He helps me out a lot, on and off the field, you know, whether it's football related or not. You know, he's always there for me, and he's showing me the ropes, you know. He's a great veteran, a great vet I look up to, call him my big bro. So whenever I have a chance, I can ask him anything I want, and he always seems the way to answer.
Every time we see you make a play, the one thing that jumps into my mind, how in the world did you do that? 43-yarder the other day, it looked like it was going to be incomplete, and all of a sudden you've got a big catch. What were you thinking on that one?
You know, we had a go route call, and I got up on the DB, and Andrew threw the ball. And once he threw the ball, I seen it coming my way. I said, oh, this is my ball. I got to go get it. And I just went up and made a play for him. You know, Andrew put his trust in me by throwing me the ball, so I returned the favor by going up and making a play for him.
Is that the way you react when the ball's thrown to you? It's your ball?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's my ball. You know, if you go throw it to me, that's my ball. I got to catch it. And, you know, he's doing a great job back there. You know, the line's doing a great job protecting for him. But whenever he has a chance, you know, and he gives me the ball, I got to make sure I make that catch.
It was a tough game yesterday. You wanted to be 2-0 or 1-1. Going to San Francisco, you're playing against a team that was in the Super Bowl a year ago on their turf. Does that get you more excited for games like that?
Oh, you know, every game is a big game, but, you know, this one is going to be that much more special, you know. They're coming off losing the Super Bowl, so, and they're coming off last week loss against Seattle, so they're going to be pretty pumped. They're going to be fired up, but we also going to be fired up as well because we're coming off a loss that we know we should have won. So coming into this game, it's going to be two fired up teams, and may the best team win.
Practice. How important is that for you?
Oh, practice is very, very important. You know, Monday through Saturday, that's the mental preparation. That's the physical preparation. And for me, Monday through Saturday is the hard part for me. And then come Sundays, that should be the easy part. Just go out there and have fun.
Everybody says that. How do you do that? You work hard during the week. But Sunday, you're getting hit by guys every time you touch the ball, and that's fun?
Oh, no. You know, it's just your preparation for the game. You know, Monday through Saturday, the time you put in, the film you watch. So when Sunday comes, you already know what to expect from the defense and what to expect from special teams or whatever that position you play. So when Sunday comes, you just go out there and have fun and be easy.
Watching the fans react, listening to them, you're becoming a big-time fan favorite here. Do you hear the crowd? Does the crowd get you going?
Oh, the crowd always get me going. You know, the fans we have here is remarkable. Experience nothing like it. You know, they love their coach. They love some Indianapolis coach. So whenever we have a chance to go out there and play for them, just hit them cheering defense or offense or screaming whenever we make a big play, that's very important and it helps us.
Where do you attribute as being the model when you started playing that you thought, hey, I want to be like this guy?
Growing up, I really watched Deion Sanders. I love the way he played the game. He had some swag to him, especially on the punt return and playing DB. I really like that about him, man. His durag he wears, the bandana, I really like that. But the way he carried himself what made that more special.
Well, that was our visit for the week, our spotlight player. That was T.Y. Hilton, brought to you by Lightbound. For all your cloud service needs, call Lightbound. What I liked again in the locker room today, nobody was pointing fingers. Everybody was saying, though, even the interviews after the game yesterday, we should have done more to win the game. Players who, T.Y. had a great game, but he felt like he should have done more. Felt like he could have scored on a play that he got tackled on. And as Chuck talked about, there was a huge play in the game. The linebacker who got his hand on that pass was Philip Wheeler, who used to play here. Philip played very, very well for the Dolphins yesterday. Had he not tipped that pass, I'm not sure anybody was going to catch T.Y. because he had beaten the defender going across the field. If he catches it in stride, which was going to happen, you probably ring up another six, and who knows. But that's not what happened. You got to deal with what did and didn't happen, and the Colts have a lot of work to do this week to get back on the winning track, particularly going against the San Francisco 49ers. Jim Sorgi is up next. He'll be answering your questions. And, again, the phone number is 317-639-COLT, 317-639-COLT. We'll be back and talk with Jim in just a moment. You're listening to Colts Monday Night, presented by Citizens Energy Group on FM 107.5, 1070 The Fan, and 97.1 Hank FM. And we're going to be joined in this segment and the next by Jim Sorgi. Jim, of course, is our radio analyst on game day, and he'll take your calls. The number is 317-639-COLT, 317-639-COLT. Before we get to your questions, we'll be talking with Jim. Let's talk about the drive of the game. It happened in the second quarter. After being down 14-3, the Colts battled back, went on a 78-yard drive, and with a minute and a half to go in the second quarter, Ahmad Bradshaw gave the Colts a lead.
I formation. Dominic Jones was the fullback. He moves over, wing back to the left side. Havili was wing back right. He goes left side. They give us to Bradshaw. Touchdown! Ahmad Bradshaw blast into the end zone. There wasn't really a whole lot to worry about as far as the room was concerned. He got in rather easily. That's his 33rd career touchdown, his first as a Colt. And for the first time this afternoon, the Colts lead 16-14 with the extra point coming.
And, of course, Miami came back in the second half, won the ball game by the score of 24-20. So we mentioned Jim Sorgi joins us now. And, you know, looking back yesterday, Jim, the Colts had an awful lot of opportunities, even in the second half. Just couldn't climb the mountain in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, you're right. And really, it comes down to the little things, Bob. I mean, me and you know, we've been around football a long time, and it's the little things. It's the missed field goal earlier in the game. That it was a long field goal, but if we make that field goal, then that last drive, we only need a field goal to win, not a touchdown. It's the penalty on the touchdown. And it gave the touchdown to the point where if we get that touchdown, maybe we have the lead then. We're just taking the air out of the ball. And you saw it. It's, you know, Oakland had it last week when they missed a field goal. Then they get the ball inside the 10-yard line late in the game, and all they would have needed was a field goal to win the game. So it's one of those things that the little things, you know, seem to come back and kind of bite you in the butt a little bit late in games. And I thought it was a tale of two halves a little bit. I thought our offense played a really good first half. I thought we could do anything we really wanted to do. We were throwing the ball nicely. We were running the ball nicely. and then the second half, we only come out and get 3 points. And the defense, you know, started a little slow yesterday. They give up 17 points in the first half and only give up a touchdown in the second half. So, well, I mean, we're so close. I think we all can see it. I think we all can smell it. And I think that's why this loss hurts a little bit. And I really thought after I got done playing, a loss wouldn't mean as much to me when the Colts lose. But the loss still affects me today as it did yesterday.
Yeah, it's kind of funny in that we were talking with Chuck. The 24-hour rule works when you win. It does not work when you lose. Is it tougher to come back after a game like yesterday or one was like the 49ers got blown out in Seattle? Does it make any difference? I mean, I know a loss is a loss, but is it tougher to recover from one or the other?
I always found it was so tough to come back from a loss that was so close. I mean, you do all the any loss hurts, but you do all the preparation during the week, and you feel like you got your opponent nailed. You're at home, and you come up just a little short on a game where you had the ball first and 10 around the 20-yard line, and 23-yard line, I think it was, and you feel like you really, I mean, any other time, first and 10 on the 23-yard line, we expect the Colts to go in and score and win that game. They've done it so often, and I think that's why we're just so surprised today that they didn't do it yesterday. But, you know, it can't happen all the time. And when you've been around this game so long, you win just as much as you lose. And you know, we got a tough opponent coming up next week in the San Francisco 49ers, who really honestly looked bad last night. I mean, they looked like world beaters the first week of the season against Green Bay. And then last night they looked like they couldn't do anything right against Seattle. So it's one of those things. We know they're not Superman. They got a lot of weapons. They got a lot of weapons on offense. They got a lot of good defensive players that we're going to have to account for. But they're definitely a beatable team, and we're definitely the team that can go into 49ers Stadium and beat them. And we just need to put this game yesterday behind us and focus on next week and really take it day by day, because really you're not going to get the taste of this loss out of your mouth until you get a win. And what better way to go beat one of the best teams in the NFC in the 49ers?
Jim, again, we're taking phone calls at 317-639-COLT. Any caller who appears on Colts Monday Night with Chuck Pagano will also appear on the Verizon hotline. Time to go to that line right now. Chris is up first, and Chris, you're on with Jim Sorgi.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, first of all, I was at the game yesterday. I definitely always enjoy going. It was a little frustrating to lose. Like you said, you can't win them all. My question is just regarding the final drive that we had there on offense, specifically once we did get down to the 23-yard line or whatever it was. And I guess my thinking was, we've got the ball, 2 timeouts, we're inside the 25, we need a touchdown, obviously, and then we sent 3 passes 10 yards down the field, and obviously, you know, they may not have been the first option. That's just where, you know, take what the defense gives you, but just seemed like, you know, maybe a run or something a little more efficient, maybe, to move the ball a little bit and get closer, rather than basically a 3-and-out. Obviously, there was a sack on 4th down, but it was just a little frustrating watching that, and didn't seem like we really gave ourselves a great chance to get some yards, punch it in with 30 seconds left, and kind of put them in a hole.
Yeah.
Jim,
Chris, I get what you're saying. Hindsight 2020, yeah, maybe we could have popped a run right there and got a little closer. If you remember back at that final drive, they were bringing a lot of heat, a lot of pressure. We were man-to-man, you know, kind of across the board on our receivers. So really what they were doing on defense really didn't indicate a run at that moment in time. You know, looking back, maybe we could have popped some. Maybe we could have, you know, threw a screen on whoever was covering the back and stuff like that. Or maybe we could have just kind of dinked and dunked a little bit, you know, and used some of our timeouts, maybe a 5-yarder here or a 7-yarder there instead of trying to go down the field a little bit. When you're trying to win the game, you're calling plays and you put the game in your quarterback's hands. And that's what we did. When you look back, we would have loved to play calling if we would have scored a touchdown. And everybody knows that. And it's easy to second guess when you're out of the moment. But when you're in the moment, you're calling plays based on what you think is best and what the defense is going to give you. And really with what they were bringing, throwing at us and the pressure they were putting on us, a run probably really wouldn't have worked in that situation.
And I think you're right, Jim. You know, it's one of those things where if it works, it's great, and if it doesn't, you should have done the other thing. And we've come from behind 8 out of the 12 wins that we've had in the last year and a half, and there was every reason, you and I were talking about it in the booth, there was every reason to believe we could pull out another one, particularly when Andrew hit Reggie and got the first down at the 23-yard line. As the caller, Chris, said, we had 2 timeouts left. You got to go 23 yards. The 49ers were bringing the house at this point. They got 3 sacks, but they got 2 of them in the last drive. So I think Andrew was just trying to get the ball out of there, find somebody open, and he just missed on 1 or 2 of them of coming up with a big play. So, you know, as you said, hindsight is always 20/20. As a quarterback, you like to have a situation like that. You played with both Mannings, Eli, and Peyton. Now you're watching Andrew. Is the last drive of the game, when there's so much pressure, you need a touchdown, how do guys, including yourself, how do you handle that kind of pressure?
Well, you take it play by play, really. I mean, you try to get in position to win the game. And Andrew Luck, I mean, he's our franchise guy. You want the ball in his hands. And I'm sure he went up to Pep Hamilton and said, hey, put the ball in my hands. I'm going to get it done. And he has that confidence in himself. And I'm sure we all have that confidence in him because he's done it so many times. And he almost did it yesterday. We had the ball twice in close to the red zone to win that game. I'm sure he wants that throw back where he threw the interception, because if you take that drive and if we get a field goal out of that drive, we only need a field goal to win the game. And I'm sure nobody's kicking himself in the butt more than he is today. But you win as a team, you lose as a team. That's always preached by the coaching staff. But you really want the ball in the franchise's hands when the game is on the line. So do we want – I'd much rather have Andrew throwing 3 times down in the red zone on 23, a chance to win the game, than trying to get a run and losing yardage. And the defense just did not dictate that. And on 4th down, Phillip Lillard had Donald Brown man-to-man. And when he didn't release into a route or something like that, stayed in the block, he blitz-engaged and ended up doing a great job getting past Donald Brown for the sack. That's just the way it was. And, you know, you got to give credit to the offensive line yesterday. They did a great job protecting him, run blocking. And up until those drives that they knew we had to throw the football, then they turned up the heat a little bit. And that's always tough for an offensive line. But I think this is a game, you know, we learn from our mistakes. We put this behind us, and we go in and we give the 49ers what for, and we give them our best shot and see if it's good enough.
All right, Jim, we'll be back and answer some more calls in just a moment. Again, our phone number, 317-639-COLT. You're listening to Colts Monday Night with Chuck Pagano, presented by Citizens Energy Group on FM 107.5, 1070 The Fan, and 97.1 Hank FM. Welcome back to the show. And again, we're chatting with Jim Sorgi and talking about yesterday's game. And Jim, just a general thing. We've heard pros and cons about this for an awful long time, and very few people ever want to ask the player's point of view. The roof, open or closed? As a player, do you have a choice? I mean, you don't have a choice, but do you have a preference?
Well, me and Peyton always lobbied for it to be closed. I don't know if that was the – you know, I lobbied for whatever Peyton Manning wanted to do. So I don't know if that was his preference. I don't know if there was a reason for it or not. To tell you the truth, I never really played in Lucas Oil when the roof was open, because all my games came in
late in
December
year,
when it was cold outside. So it's one of those things. And, you know, the wind, I remember in warm-ups, the wind did swirl a little bit. And, you know, especially when you had both the window and the roof open. So, I mean, we always lobbied for it to be closed, kind of keep it that normal climate with no wind and no, you know, natural weather causes for anything to happen. But, you know, but I'll tell you what, it's beautiful in the press box when it's open. I'll tell you that.
Yesterday's game was so tough to lose. And just looking at players in the locker room today, it still bugs them. And the 24-hour rule, you've talked about it. It takes you longer to get away from it. Does it affect the way you practice the week after a tough loss like that?
Well, I think me and you both know a timely loss can do wonders for a football team. And that's at the beginning of the season. That's at the end of the season. I think, the Ravens last year, the string of losses they had at the end of the season, I think it kind of shook them up a little bit and woke them up. You can kind of get the feeling too good about yourself, and a loss can kind of put you back in your place and kind of make you work even that much harder. That loss yesterday, especially to a team that I feel like we're a better football team than, it kind of makes you point the finger back at yourself and, hey, what can I do better? What can I do more to make this team better? And I think that's the way the Colts will take it. I think everybody will look at themselves in the mirror and be like, I could do this better, I could do that better, and I could do more to help this team win. I mean, from the interviews after the game, even from players who, in our minds probably couldn't do much more, T.Y. Hill, 6 catches, 124 yards in the touch, and I don't know if it's a touchdown or not, but 6 catches, 124 yards in the first half, he's talking after the game, I could do more. When that ball's coming my way, it's my ball. And you like that out of your team? I'd rather have that kind of team than players on a team that say, hey, I got my 100 yards. I did all I could do. Well, we lost the game, and you could do more. And I think everybody on this team, all the players, really reflect that and really point at themselves and say, what am I not doing that I should be doing to help this team win?
Jim, as always, we appreciate the answers. We appreciate your visit. See you on the plane heading to San Francisco on Saturday afternoon, and Colts try to get a win against the 49ers.
I look forward to it, Bob.
All right, Jim Sorgi. The Colts would like to thank Subway for donating prizes for the Colts giveaway packages given away at the beginning of the show. And that concludes this edition of the Colts Monday Night with Chuck Pagano. We'll be back again 6 o'clock next Monday. We'll be very, very tired after a long cross-country flight. This show presented by Citizens Energy Group on FM 107.5, 1070 The Fan, and 97.1 Hank FM.